Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Surely no one likes to think about the eternal damnation of even one soul. Since God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, neither should His children. Our Lord came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Christ's followers must use their time and talent to lead men to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. If all of this is true, and from a biblical viewpoint, it cannot be doubted, then how ought we to react to teachers who promote false doctrines? Should we not be concerned about those who believe a lie and are condemned eternally because they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. Great Bible preachers, including the Lord Himself and all His apostles, use their very valuable time to warn about false teachers. Jesus urged His disciples, "Beware of false teachers, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Matthew 7:15. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Acts 20:29 and 30. Peter informed his readers, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." 2 Peter 2:1. Peter then added, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." 2 Peter 2:2. If false teachers damaged only their own souls, that would be tragic enough. But in many cases, they lead thousands and thousands into soul-condemning error. Think, for example, of what has occurred with many of the large and influential cultic movements. Some of them have millions of members who have been deceived into believing that the cults were truly the Church of the Living God. I know it is not easy to distinguish cultic groups from some denominations or sectarian movements, and I really am not trying to. But the great tragedy is that the false teachers are leading their followers into hell. What else could Peter have had in mind when he wrote, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways"? The word pernicious, apoleios in the Greek, means destructive. However, more modern versions of the New Testament think a different Greek word is used. Most modern versions are translated from the Greek asogeis, which means lascivious doings, licentiousness, debauchery. I know there is a difference in the Greek words, but I'm not sure the difference is of any great consequence. What Peter wanted the early Christians and us to know is that false teachers cause their followers to speak evil of the way of truth. One modern example will have to suffice. One cultic movement in the United States insists that God was once a man, just like us. He evolved until He became powerful enough and wise enough to have His own universe. All genuine Christians are evolving toward Godhood. One of the leaders in that radical cult said, "As we are now, God once was. As God is now, we shall become." While that particular cult might deny any connection with the New Age movement, the same false concept is promoted by the New Agers. In fact, Shirley MacLaine said, "I am God. I am that I am. This teaching will destroy you." Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.